Before John Brown became a hymn, he was a flesh-and-blood human being, Bible-thumping, rifle-toting, heroic, but maybe more than a little unhinged. A portrait of John Brown and another of Frederick Douglass are at the heart of a new novel with an unlikely narrator, 12-year-old boy Henry Shackelford, whose father is killed when they're liberated by John Brown, who calls the child who has fair curly hair and is dressed in a potato sack Little Onion, and he thinks he's a girl. Henry, to stay safe, lives that way and lives to leave behind a powerful, improbable, hilarious, and moving memoir. The novel is The Good Lord Bird by James McBride, and the author of previous bestsellers, including The Color of Water and Song Yet Sung, joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
It's a kind of a hilarious story and an instructive one. Says a lot about John Brown as to how he came to think Henry was a girl. Someone says Henry ain't a, and he thinks he hears Henrietta. And you write, whatever he believed it didn't matter to him whether it was really true or not. He just changed the truth till it fit him. He was a real white man.
He was a real white man, and more than that, he was a character. And the hard part about writing about a guy like John Brown is that he was so serious and his cause was so serious that most of what's been written about him is really serious. And in my opinion, a little bit boring, not all of it. But I wanted to kind of thrust him into the Jesse James category or the Western category so that people would appreciate, you know, what he really was and what he tried to do.
Mm. What made you decide on Henry's narrative voice?
I love the language of, you know, the old black country man who, you know, with a blues guitar and concrete boots and the quick banter and the telling those whoppers, you know. I just love that voice. Mm-hmm. And I wanted this character to be an old man looking back on his life and then telling a grand whopper. And I really had to put him in a situation where I could also kind of work with identity, which powers stories. And so it seemed fitting that he would be a black boy mistaken to be a black girl at a time when black life was not valued with the same equality that white life was valued with.
It was part of the attraction to you that by, can I use the phrase, passing as a girl, Henry was able to see things that he wouldn't if he were a 12-year-old and an older boy?
Yeah, absolutely. And also his innocence, the presumed innocence of girls, and also the presumed invisibility of black girls, which were probably on the lowest rank of the totem pole in terms of life during slavery, and also to communicate the overwhelming moral power and courage and drive of John Brown, mm-hmm. to release blacks from slavery, no matter whether they wanted to be released or not, just the force of the man to just push into this tavern, get into a gunfight, grab this kid, run off, not paying attention to whether the kid is a boy or a girl, because his charge is to free all African Americans. And because he's wearing these blinders, if you will, mm-hmm. he just doesn't see things that he should see.
Henry's got an idea that everything that motivates John Brown begins with the fact that he had a lot of mouths to feed.
Well, John Brown in real life, he had 22 kids and 12 of them lived.
Yeah.
Henry also notes that, you know, he was a lot hungrier when he was free than when he was a slave.
Yeah.
There are a lot of inconsistencies in life when you look at fully dimensional characters who are moving about the real and sometimes the fictional world.
You've got to make note of what I found a devastating remark that Henry makes about Frederick Douglass, where he refers to him as a speeching parlor man.
Frederick Douglass refers to himself as that. Frederick Douglass was a man who made speeches. Henry was a kid who had been out on the plains and firing weapons and getting drunk and meeting parlor folks and so forth. He doesn't have a great regard for the East Coast abolitionists in general, which makes him that much more interesting and that much more compelling and also, in my opinion, more real. Mm-hmm. The abolitionists were not like the rugged people out west, and they were not like John Brown either. Mm-hmm. They were people who made speeches and did politics. So in this book, mm-hmm. there's no space for that. This is a book about real people who did real things, some of which are fictionalized, but much of which is real, mm-hmm. or was real and really happened.
Well, that raises the question. In depicting John Brown and Frederick Douglass, How important was historical accuracy to you?
In real life, they were good friends. And in real life, John Brown went to Frederick Douglass and said, I'm going to attack Harper's Ferry, and if you come, thousands of blacks will come.
Yeah. The real meeting that you described towards the end.
The real meeting happened, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was important to show that they had a very close relationship.
Yeah.
And that John Brown trusted Frederick Douglass, but that at the end of his life, John Brown was very disappointed mm-hmm. that Frederick Douglass did not accompany him to Harper's Ferry on that suicide mission. But, I mean, I had some fun with Frederick Douglass's character.
Sounds like Frederick Douglass had some fun with Frederick Douglass's character, if I might put it that way.
Well, you know, serious students of African-American history might not be pleased, but...
Well, just explain that in your rendition of Frederick Douglass, he's got a private life the New York Post would like to go into.
Frederick Douglass was married to a black woman, and he had a white mistress that, at a certain point, lived in the house with him.
A German woman, yeah.
Yeah, a German woman. It's true.
I checked that, I must say. When I read that in your novel, I thought, is there any chance that this is true? And it's true.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. And then she lived with him for a long time, and then she went back to Germany at a certain point and ended up committing suicide.
Yeah.
And then he had another white mistress who was younger, mm-hmm. and she hung about the house too. Listen, don't meet your heroes. If you meet your heroes, you're always going to be disappointed. Frederick Douglass was a great man. But would I want my daughter to marry him? Probably not. That doesn't mean that I don't think he's a great man. He's a great man. But
so I met him in this novel, and you're quite right. I wouldn't want my daughters to marry him. But in any event, I would like to hear him speak. I would like to talk to him. I think I'd almost follow him anywhere, too.
I agree. I think he was a great leader, and he was a profoundly gifted writer as well. But, you know, the problem with leaders is that they have personal lives. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Frederick Douglass was flawed in the sense that he lived like a man who had power lived back in that time. And most men who had power lived the way they wanted to live. And women had very little, if any, power at all.
Yeah.
I hope people don't take it personally. It's just an illumination.
Can you, as the beloved author of The Color of Water, this wonderful memoir you wrote in the subtitle, A Black Man's Tribute, to his white mother. Can you get away with those kind of depictions of Frederick Douglass and John Brown that maybe other writers couldn't?
That's a tough question. Probably. I don't know that a white writer would do that. But then I don't know that a black writer who writes, you know, Fiddler on the Roof wouldn't find his book in the black section of the bookstore.
Yeah.
So, yes, the answer to your question is yes. And that shows you the kind of limitations that we all live under. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the reasons why I wrote this book.
Well, novels like this can help.
Well, I hope so, but I hope it brings a smile to people's faces. I don't like books that are depressing. Anything that will illuminate the commonality of our experience is a good thing to have, I think.
James McBride, his new novel, The Good Lord Bird. Thanks so much for being with us.
Delighted. Thank you.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.